American Exceptionalism News Network.
Shame on you! Lawbreaker! Shame on you, Kevin DeLeon! Lawbreaker! Shame on you, lawbreaker! You're a lawbreaker, Kevin DeLeon! You're a lawbreaker, Kevin DeLeon!
Lawbreaker!
Shame on you!
Lawbreaker!
Shame on you, lawbreaker!
Century you're living in today, for a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
Government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that I'm speaking to exceptional Americans right now. So welcome aboard. Welcome aboard this edition of Agenda 21 Radio. Boy, oh boy, just a banner news day as usual. It's supposed to be Breitbart and Drudge Friday. But we've had serious interruptions here at Agenda 21 Radio, which have panned out to be wonderful for the radio show. We've had some pretty rich content already, and we're going to add to it right now because our very own Chris Street is with us, and Chris has a number of articles up in Breitbart. And Chris, before we climb on board with your articles, I know you've gotten one that is celebrating a certain communist birthday. It's kind of an interesting deal. But what are your thoughts on what you just saw yesterday and, of course, the fallout that's going on with the Comey? I don't even know what you want to call it, a testimony, an outing, coming out of the closet, whatever you want to call what happened yesterday.
Well, Paul, my take on all this is that this was the pinnacle of the progressives' attack against the Trump administration and really all 12 cylinders of the establishment were firing coming into this. Unfortunately, you know, it's sort of like you've got a Fiat limping out after the hearings. What you had before this hearing was Comey sort of venerated by both sides as a person of character and integrity. And then you find out he's just a sleazeball leaker like everybody else. Matter of fact, he's worse than everybody else because he had to admit that his leaking was highly biased. In a position such as the FBI director, you know, the last person known to be a leaker was J. Edgar Hoover. You know, people say J. Edgar Hoover wore garter belts. You know, I couldn't tell whether Comey came in with them today or yesterday.
Garter belts. Well, you know, it certainly has turned out to be a huge smackdown, even with NBC, ABC, and CBS bringing their terrestrial broadcast capabilities on board. It seems that everybody's kind of soured on what they heard from Comey. And, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, he admits to be the leaker.
Right. Well, he admits to one leak, Paul.
You know, just one.
And that's right. And Trump's attorney has now made a filing with both the Justice Department and the examiner within the department.
Independent counsel.
Not independent counsel. There's each department has its own.
Oh yeah, the solicitor general. No, the guy. Right. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, they have their their own, you know, independent operation. And, you know, Comey walked in there. I guess he was looking to, you know, polish the apple of his career. You know, I think it looks like, you know, sort of worms are crawling in that apple now. And, you know, we're not going to see Comey anymore. If you thought he was going to be some high visibility profile expert that would, you know, come on CNN and, you know, give his, you know, his thoughtfulness and all that kind of stuff, that's gone. You know, he's a corporate schmuck, and that's what he is.
Well, you know, it's kind of like that. You're thinking his thinking there may have been, I'm going to be like an Oliver North.
Yeah, except without the Marine uniform.
Without the Marine uniform, right. He's got the height and everything and the breadth, and he's going to get up there and tell everybody, you know, how the cow ate the cabbage, as I always say. And it turned out to be a complete flop. We found out there's no evidence of collusion. There's no Trump investigation. Never has been a Trump investigation. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They tried to throw everything at Trump, and there's no sticking of anything. Nothing.
I just think it shows how absolutely without portfolio the Democrats are right now. Most people really don't care about Comey's leaks. You know, they just wish that kind of stuff didn't go on. You know, they're not titillated by what goes on in, you know, the inside the Beltway, which, oh, by the way, for the last, 9 years had been the hottest economic city in America, probably in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So when you have government being the center of economic progress, they're taking that from somebody else and they've taken it from the people. You ask most folks and you look at these statistics, you know, the average person in America, you know, they've been treading water really since 1992. And, you know, Clinton got a lot of points for the economy going up. Most people didn't participate. A small number really made it good. You know, Bush actually, incomes actually somewhat recovered, but Obama just nailed America's incomes. You know, the cost of benefits went up spectacularly. And after inflation, incomes went down during the Obama administration. And that's why Trump won. You know, Trump won because of what people knew happened to them, not some fantasy about the Russians. They knew what was happening to them personally, and they didn't like it. And, you know, the inside the Beltway, that whole thing is going crazy today about the elections in England with the May leadership not getting actually losing seats. They lost 12 seats out of 650, and they still got a majority. They still got the largest number, and they've already formed a government. So, you know, this is real inside the Beltway stuff. What's really important, you're not watching, and that's what's outside the Beltway, where the real economy is, where people really work, and where people really need to have wage progress.
Which is exactly where Donald Trump goes and has been. He's been doing the right thing as a president by bringing attention, focusing attention on the economy at every turn, and protection for the American citizens, and building a stronger national defense, which has been a very, very, very a good thing for him. I think the president came out of this whole thing with the Comey hearing an absolute winner. He, you know, like I was telling people, the way Trump works is that he gives you a lot of rope to hang yourself. And boy, did he give Comey and the Democrats and all these the broadcasters all the rope that they wanted, and boy, did they just swing.
Well,
they,
Paul,
they are swinging.
If somebody's working for you and they're leaking, that's an automatic firing.
Right.
That's not a counseling session.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that. You don't get to throw dirt on your company and your boss and get counseled for it. I mean, if you've done it and you got caught, you've obviously done it more before and just haven't got caught. Unfortunately, Trump's attorney, Mark Kasowitz, is going to file a complaint against Comey to the Justice Department.
Inspector General.
And the Inspector General. I was going to say right. that. He's also going to notice the Senate Judiciary Committee, which, of course, Comey was confirmed by the Senate. So, all these Democrats on the Judiciary Committee now have to deal with a complaint of one of the guys they confirmed. The big scumbag here was Loretta Lynch,
right.
The Attorney General of the United States, who told Comey to misstate or lie the basis of the Clinton investigation. And in fact, he misstated or lied about it. Both of those are closer to being a crime than the president. The president actually can fire anybody he wants. He can tell them not to investigate this.
Right. He has a constitutional right to do that. Right.
Right. What you can't do as a president, and they're talking about obstructing justice, you can't destroy tapes or
right.
anything that's government property.
Right. And he never even came close to that. Anyway, we've got the music coming up more. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Loretta Lynch. Then we're going to talk about, net neutrality and how important that is for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street talking about, the Comey hearings, and we're going to get into his stories that he's got on Breitbart, which are very, very interesting. Incredibly interesting, considering who we're going to be talking about. Anyway, Chris, I wanted to jump back in on the Loretta Lynch thing, because Loretta Lynch has played a big role in certainly the election. One could say that Loretta Lynch was the one who was interfering with the election after all.
Well, it brings up the issue of Bill Clinton got on that plane with Loretta Lynch, and she didn't report that. It was reported by a local Phoenix reporter, I believe, for the – I'm trying to think the name of the paper. It's the Arizona Republic.
Right.
And
at Sky Harbor Airport.
At Sky Harbor. That's right. At Sky Harbor Airport. And everybody was snickering at the airport. Because of the way that Bill did it, he just kind of jetted across, and any other person running across a tarmac, would probably just be shot. You're just not supposed to. He was literally running across the tarmac. This wasn't walking. This was fast walking or running, and he was trying to get in the plane before somebody could,
see him,
guard the door and make sure he couldn't get in. But he not only got in that plane, he didn't get one of these. Get the you-know-what out immediately. She talked to him for 20 minutes. What happened in those 20 minutes? What deal was cut? And why did Loretta Lynch turn around and not announce that Hillary was under investigation? I mean, that was a bang-drop disqualification.
Right.
She played it out.
Well, the thing is that there was no reporting of that by Loretta Lynch to who she's supposed to report it to, nothing. And, the inspector general, having been made aware of that, really didn't do anything. There was no prosecution because Comey had her back. So it really raises a number of questions about what's going to happen with Loretta Lynch at this point, what's going to happen to Comey. Now, interesting, I bet Loretta Lynch has a get-out-of-free-jail card from Obama, which sort of puts her aside. She probably no prosecution going to happen there. But Comey does not have a get out of free jail card with Trump. And remember, he served time.
I'm not sure about any of that, Paul. I want to say, that there's no reason that Loretta Lynch could not be indicted for any of her actions. No, there's nobody there to you know, waive prosecution or protect her. She's living in Trump land now. And, you know, the Tim Kaine, the former vice president candidate, came out and said that, you know, on CNN, the greatest comment, you know, that the Lynch comments pretty much irrelevant. Well, pretty much irrelevant. Tim Kaine, vice president, his son, it was indicted for being one of the Antifa terrorists at a Trump rally. I think it was March 27th he was indicted. So, you know, these people are running a very complicated life. If your 24-year-old son is indicted for assault and battery, and you're the vice president candidate of the United States, could you imagine what they would do if it was Republican?
Right. He'd be excoriated to the max. Well, this sort of brings up a whole different bailiwick for Trump and for everybody else, because clearly this wipes the slate clean. What about Mueller with this investigation? Do you think, is that going to go forward?
Well, I think there's a basis to investigate what took place with the Russians. You know, I mean, there are open files going on all the time about this and about that. You know, they're not using the term investigation yet. They're just using the term review. There's reviews going on all the time. Having said that, that when the FBI director is found to have committed a crime, he took memos that were considered, right, that were written on a confidential, top secret word processor within his system. He pocketed them and left, and then he leaked them. Now, all of which brings up the issue, what else did he take? This is a guy who admitted that he absconded with government property. He didn't, you know, he did say that there was a memo there. That's one of the things he turned over when he left as the FBI director. He listed all the stuff out. But what else did he take, and who else did he leak it to? So if he leaked it once, you don't think this is his first rodeo?
No, not at all. I think this is multiple rodeos, multiple lassos. I mean, you know, he's riding the main bull out there right now, and he's losing. He's going to get gored. I love this little play on words here.
There used to be a song, I want to be a cowboy, boom, 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 boom. Well, you can be my cowgirl. He's about to get ridden like a cowgirl.
That's right. And, you know, tall guy like that with big, long legs. So, anyway, the situation for Comey looks bleak. And that's why I was saying earlier, though, see, he's in the window where he was actually hired by Trump. He was working for Trump. So anything he's done falls under the Trump administration. And leaking these memos, that's criminal, Chris. I mean, that's just a criminal activity. And he admits it.
I don't know if it's criminal. It's at least civil. It depending right, on what right. It was, it can be, you know, it can be a misdemeanor or it can be a felony. Now, could you imagine the FBI director? Because he's going to get proctology here, Paul.
I know.
You can hear the snap of the yellow gloves going on right now.
Yeah.
This guy is going to have to fess up to everything he did every minute of the time he was in the FBI. And they're gonna comb his computers. You know, Comey. They're going to be Comeying his computers. They're going to be asking questions. And there's always people out there who understand that these investigations are so big and so destructive that, you know, you may have done nothing, but the legal fees are going to kill you. So in Washington, D.C., you have people that roll over immediately.
Right.
So we are just we are in the front end of what is sort of like Oroville Dam coming down.
Well, yeah, the emergency spillway has just broken in a sort.
It cannot be used anymore.
Right, right.
They're so leaking on the side of the dam.
This parade. We'll probably have more hearings, more public hearings. I don't think that ABC, CBS, and NBC are going to be more willing to, you know, put these hearings out there for the general public to see, because it's going to be pretty embarrassing, actually, for the Democrats more than anything else. Now, I think the dam has this horse has taken off now it's left the barn, and they can't put it back in, and it's going to be very, very negative for the Democrats going forward. They're going to lose like crazy coming up. And because, you know, there's even Democrats that are criticizing what's been going on right now. So when you start getting that sort of thing going on, you know, these Democrats are thinking, gosh, you know, I've got an election coming up here, and the election cycle's already started in some places for 2018. This is not boding well for them.
Well, you know, what this brings back is the simple fact that Reagan's, had found a Democrat group that really believed in the founding principles of the Democrat Party. You know, these were principles of country, family first, country second, you third.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it after that.
Yep.
I mean, literally, this was a party who was, you know, who led World War One and led World War Two, you know, who had strong values, was pro-worker, hated Wall Street, and knew that they had to be, you know, reined in.
Yeah. And they
That's not the Democrat Party today. The Democrat Party today sells you out. You know, they do immigration rules, you know, to break your wages. As far as, you know.
We're coming up to a break right now, Chris. It sounds to me like the Democratic Party, like the party here in California, is just starting to lean so far left, you might even want to call them communists. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We will face challenges. We will confront hardships. But we will get the job done.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. With Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street on Agenda 21 Radio. And, of course, it's been really a booming day here on Agenda 21 Radio. We've been talking about the Comey files, I guess you would say, the Comey hearing from yesterday and all the blowback that's coming on. It's getting worse and worse and for Comey, not for Trump. Trump played it straight. And, of course, we have known that one of the reasons for quite a while we've been hanging on to this information, that Comey was fired, really, for being the leaker. He was known as a leaker, and they found it out, and Trump decided to fire him because of it, and he did. This goes hand-in-hand with some other people. There's one other person out there, and quite frankly, I used my information sources to blow that out on the story that we wrote about Comey this morning, in that it's John Brennan is the other leaker. So look forward to certain things happening, perhaps, to John Brennan as well as a leaker out there. But anyway, Chris, I wanted to get into your story. Amazon's July 12th day of action for net neutrality is big communist anniversary. And we had Trevor Loudon on, Mr. Let's out the communist man himself, in the last hour. Now we're just these communists are just not having a good day at Agenda 21 Radio today.
Well, Paul, you know, my articles are always I'm an economist. I teach at the universities. I actually lecture Chinese government officials and top state-owned enterprises. But I try to put it out there and give people a perspective. Amazon is winning under the formula of Barack Obama. Under Hillary Clinton, they would have essentially been able to continue as a monopoly and crushed everyone in their path. One of the ways they crush everyone in their path is they have a zero cost of delivering their advertising and business called the internet. Now, some people think that's a good thing, but the problem with that good thing is that Amazon takes everything they pick up from you and sells it all. So does Facebook and so does Google. They sell it all, and they sell what your friends say about you all, and they really are making Americans' lives much worse. Now, how do they get away with it? For the simple fact, under quote-unquote net neutrality passed by the Obama appointees to the Federal Communications Commission, they turned the internet into the telephone of AT&T's day so they could A, regulate it, B, tax it, and C, implement what was called the fairness doctrine. The fairness doctrine is that every comment of a conservative had to be matched minute for minute by a comment of a liberal or progressive. Now, in America, there's about 17% of Americans that are liberal or progressive. You know, a few more percent tend to be, you know, more leftist. But most people are in the middle, especially in the Democratic Party. You know, they're not progressive leftist. So the left actually has to pay to get their message out. That's, of course, why they buy the media. Like Jeff Bezos of Amazon bought the Washington Post. You know, they buy CNN. They buy these organizations and then use them really as state propaganda institutions because it works to pursue their agenda. Under net neutrality, basically you lock in cable and internet service providers as sort of public utilities. And you also lock out competition, because how do you compete against Amazon when the playing field is regulated? I mean, big corporate America loves regulation because they win with it. They can afford it. They can process it. They have the overhead. It's really a way to keep the riffraff like us out of the game.
Hmm. Well, this anniversary that they've settled on, it's kind of telling, especially now, because it seems like in California, the more of the communists are really kind of coming out as real self-avowed communists. We're seeing this more and more and more now, especially Jerry Brown's behavior. This is sort of a trend, I think, to show that your communist ties or links are going to continue.
Well, that's right. I mean, communism is very attractive intellectually. I mean, it has a very organized perception of the world. I took classes at Stanford from Professor Gurley, who is the most famous communist intellectual in the world, you know, really in the 70s. But real communist intellectuals are not communists. Communists run this real problem, and Vladimir Lenin ran this real problem. Remember, Lenin was brought in by the Germans?
Right.
To go and, you know, form the Russian Revolution, not by the Russians, by the German, their historic enemy. And, you know, they had this revolution, and they had these meetings of the Communist Party, these worldwide conclaves that were supposed to, you know, once Russia had a revolution of the people, that it was scientific that there would be an immediate revolution of all the workers around the world, and capitalism would be swept into the dustbin of history. Unfortunately, you know, 4 years after the Russian Revolution, that wasn't happening. So in 1921, on July 12th, 1921, Vladimir Lenin and the Russian Communist Party issued their third Comintern, it's called the Report on the Tactics of Revolutionary Communist Party. And they issued a report that says, since these idiot workers and the rest of the world won't rebel on their own, we need to send Russian operatives out in the world to create civil wars and other types of openly revolutionary uprisings. So July 12th to a communist is the most important date, because that's when, you know, the communists started going out in the world and trying to create revolution. And guess what? July 12th is set up by Amazon as the date to have a day of action, essentially create a civil war in the United States. So if you're an Antifa guy, you know, one of these guys that wears a mask,
right,
or a helmet and beats the crap out of women, you know, who happen to wear a Trump hat, you know, This is the dog whistle, July 12th. They know what that date is, and they're coming for blood.
You think this is a kickoff date for the revolutionary business?
You wouldn't have. Why would you have it on a Wednesday, July 12th? Why wouldn't it be on a weekend? You know, like regular. No, they understand. Jeff Bezos and the left understands this is the revolutionary call. This is the klaxon bell for communist uprising.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's going hand in hand with so much that we're seeing here in California with a real meteoric rise here recently of La Raza in the influence within the state capital down there. We call them the Mexican Mafia. But also the introduction of various bills by Rob Bonta, who wants to do away with communists, and he wants to legalize communists in California government, which is the article that Trevor Loudon wrote. He's a Maoist. And, of course, it's kind of interesting because he's a Maoist who's from the Philippines and obviously going forth and going out and, pastoring, so to speak, in the Philippines by the Maoist has paid off, hasn't it? Exactly what was planned for.
Absolutely, Paul. And when you take a look at this day of action, this July 12th day of action, you know, it's workers of the world unite for corporate interest, because you've got Amazon, Kickstarter, Reddit, Mozilla, Etsy, and Vimeo, you know, are funding this thing.
Oh, boy. Hang on, Chris. We got the music coming up. I want to get back into that. The funders behind this day, this communist day. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. Make sure you visit our website, Agenda 21 Radio, and make sure you can email me, paul@a21r.com.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street. We're talking about Jeff Bezos and the call, I guess you would say, the call to arms, July 12th, the day of action for net neutrality as big communist anniversary. Amazon is mobilizing a July 12th collective day of action for tech corporations and social justice warriors to unite in rebelling against the FCC's efforts to overturn net neutrality. The 12th falls on the 96th anniversary of Lenin's call to deploy Russian communists to start civil wars around the world. Kind of starting like what's happening here in California, wouldn't you say, ladies and gentlemen? It says, in a workers of the world unite for corporate interest, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos has mobilized big tech corporate support from Mozilla, Reddit, Kickstart, SD, and Vimeo to fill the streets with hard left allies from the American Civil Liberties Union, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and Greenpeace, just to mention a few of the lefties out there, Chris. And I guess the question is, what will happen on Wednesday, that Wednesday?
Well, I think this is, let me give you some background on what happened here. You know, the Obama administration passed net neutrality. And, you know, it was the Nation, which is a very powerful hard left publication, in February 15th, called the passage of net neutrality people power. But if you looked at it a little more closely, it was actually corporate power that funded a record $139.5 million in lobby expenses by computer and internet companies to influence the biggest regulatory expansion in decades. So, you know, I understand the words people power, but I really understand $139.5 million in lobbying. That's the top lobbying group in Washington, D.C. Quite an accomplishment.
Huh. Well, I guess the bigger question, what do they expect to happen on that date? Will there be rallies and have violence?
Well, I think that the tech companies are going to just give their people a day off. They've already started doing this. But the clock is ticking, because on May 18th, the majority, which is now Republican on the FCC, voted to repeal net neutrality. That starts a 90-day clock. The first 60 days is called the comment period, and that's going to end on July 17th. So this July 12th rally that's coming up, you know, is structured so that it creates the greatest amount of turmoil and the greatest amount of comments. Once that 60-day comment period is over, there's another 30 days for which people can respond to those comments, and then there's going to be a vote. So, you know, this is right at the end, politically structured at the end of the comment period for a regulatory change. So I assume that the media is going to be all over it, that, you know, you're going to fill the streets with people with masks, you know, that wear black and have clubs.
Right.
Sure, because they just want to, like, use those clubs to hold signs up.
They're
going to beat the crap out of America July 12th. That's their plan. That's what they did in Berkeley. That's what they intend to do.
Now, knowing the intent of so many La Raza folks here in California to actually go violent, like shooting things, like white people, Caucasians, and European types, and get them out of California, would this be a trigger date for such activities like that?
Well, I try to stay away from putting things in racial definitions, because the people that lose the most under communism are poor people.
Right.
they get to feel, you know, united in being even poorer, much, much poorer, and the rich, of course, become the bureaucracy of communism. They get spectacularly rich. I mean, if you're in North Korea, you know, the people's nation, you know, it's really good to be on top and smashing all the people down on the bottom. But I expect that you're going to see everything the left has to throw. This is their last big shot before Trump starts grinding them into the dustbin of history.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, take a look at what happened here with this situation with Comey yesterday. A total, crumbling of. I think it's another big plug that was pulled out of the swamp for Washington D.C., which is a good thing. Comey was the plug to begin with that started the drain of the swamp, and he's just a bigger plug that's been pulled. And of course, it's actually the Democratic National Committee, it's Loretta Lynch, it's the whole nine yards of people. So this has got someplace in California, because this seems to be really the place in which this takeover of California by the communists and so on is the strongest that we've seen. Some big event has got to happen. Maybe it's the Oroville thing that's big enough right now, but there's got to be another bigger event that calls great attention to Californians in order to save California from all this, in my opinion.
Well, Paul, you know, California is the paymaster for liberalism. And that's what the money comes from. California goes back east, you know, Silicon Valley, they own Washington, D.C., or have owned Washington, D.C. since Bill Clinton, you know, sold out the common people and triangulated to his new form of the Democrats. The worst part of the Republican Party had been, you know, the limousine Republicans who were aligned with corporate interest. But if you look at it now, and I've run corporations and I've given money to both sides, and I can tell you that it's common 70% goes to Democrats, 30% goes to Republicans, because the money you give to Democrats, whether you like their policy or not, gets you stuff.
Right.
Big corporations, you get contracts, you get money, you get stuff. So, you know, you're in a situation where the Democrats, you know, they're on the crack of corporate money, and Republicans have managed to come up from nowhere, you know, on, you know, nobodies like us media, and have taken over. And this is the Democrats' last shot. It hasn't worked politically. I haven't been able to buy it. Now I'm going to pay to burn it down. Maybe that'll work.
Well, and again, you know, we're sort of poised for something like this. And, you know, July 12th is not that long away from now. And there, we've been getting all these reports from various and sundry people that have heard the talk about La Raza and other activist groups that want to take up arms here in California. this is something that I hope this isn't a triggering device for that. But it seems, and what I think might happen, Chris, is that this Bezos and these others have no clue with what they're playing with. This is not playing with fire. This is playing with explosives. Are they looking forward to some triggering device, some trigger during these demonstrations that, again, maybe they're not looking forward to it, but maybe the people behind the demonstrations are looking forward to a greater triggering device that would cause chaos?
Well, the goal is chaos, Paul. The goal is huge chaos. So far, the Democrats and the progressives delayed the appointments from being confirmed by Trump so that you couldn't, you know, start getting rid of these Obama and Clinton policies, which were really executive orders. That is all of Trump's people are basically in place right now, and they're issuing these repeals of Obama and Clinton orders, and the clock is running. So when I say that the 60 days is up, when the 60 days is up, that's the end of the input. That's the end of their lobbying. That's as good as it gets for corporate America. You know, they're acknowledging at this point, you know, 6 weeks out, that or five, really, I guess 5 weeks out, they are not going to be able to buy the vote, and so they might as well burn it down.
Yeah, that's actually the thinking that's gone into what's happened in the California legislature and all these other revolutionaries there. That's their thinking. That, and in fact, they at meetings have been telling people that if, you know, or asking people if, in fact, they would take up arms and become violent and join a violent revolution if they have no other means by which they can separate California into its own nation. And this has been very, very disturbing. We've been reporting this since December of this last year, and we have actual witnesses who have been in the meetings and listened and talked to them about this. I've actually seen some of the videos that people were capturing on cell phones. Of course, they're told not to video, but they did, and I've seen them. And it's absolutely amazing that there could be something like this being talked about in California or talked about in this nation. But this fits right here. It fits. It doesn't look like they're going to get what they wanted through the normal process. They couldn't rig the vote or whatever. So they're going to turn to a violent means.
Well, everywhere you look, Paul, real estate is falling in central cities. You know, after 2.5 decades of absolutely booming in central cities and falling in the hinterland, especially in the rural area, it's starting to reverse. You know, America is on this incredible oil boom that I keep talking about because it changes the trade and competitiveness of the United States. Between 1870 and 1970, it wasn't capitalism. It wasn't our, you know, Protestant ethic or whatever you want to say about work. It was cheap damn oil that won two wars and made America, you know, a third of the manufacturing of the world. All that got lost when America's competitiveness in oil fell apart because the rise of the Middle East. And, you know, it was a Republican, Richard Nixon, that brought in the environmental laws, hoping that he could, you know, forestall his impeachment by feeding the left. You know, that's all reversing because fracking now, the United States is about 9.4 million barrels a day. They're third in the world, but Russia just said the United States is going to gain at least 1.5 million barrels a day by the end of 2018. That makes the United States the largest producer of oil in the world. And we've just started this other issue called LNG, liquid natural gas. And there's a new type of ship being built right now that's going to take LNG from the Gulf to Asia through the Panama Canal. So everything America's got going, is flashing in big signs, winner, winner, winner. And everything in the rest of the world is flashing loser, loser, loser. And, you know, California has been part of the, you know, America loses, but hey, we got the biggest ports, right?
Right, right, right.
There's a change in the guard. And take a look. I go to Santa Ana. Everybody knows I won the biggest malpractice and fraud judgment. Yep. Against a lawyer in the history of the country.
30 seconds.
But it's America is turning, and California is going to be part of that turn.
Good. Well, listen, Chris, tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Always catch me at Breitbart California, 1 to 2 articles a day. You know, I get it, as many as 15,000 comments. Please look the articles up and say your piece, because the left trolls this and tries to knock us down. Breitbart's traffic is up 59% this year. Don't tell me the conservative thought isn't winning.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you very much for being on Agenda 21 Radio.
See you, Paul.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Visit our website. Look for YouTubes to be popping up over the weekend from Agenda 21 Radio, too. A lot of stuff going on. Thanks for listening, and remember, stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.